I am here with Brother Rarick. He is the devotional speaker for Tuesday. How are you doing today?
I'm quite well. How are you?
Good, thank you. And I got a chance to read over the script for your talk. And
oh, you did?
I did. I got sent to me.
Oh, I got leaked.
But it's a great talk. And the title of the talk is Men Are That They Might Be Fathers. Can you explain where the inspiration came from?
Well, the short answer is the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
This is a topic I wrestled with this for a long time because when I was first asked to speak in devotional, I've been fortunate enough and blessed to speak a lot in other arenas and contexts around the country. And so I think, okay, what all these different topics, I didn't want to default into a topic.
Yeah.
I didn't want to just pick one because it was easy. So I struggled for a little while to figure out what it was the Lord wanted me to say and what is it that the BYU Idaho students and anyone else listening, faculty, et cetera, employees, what the Lord wants them to hear. And so then it finally hit me. I was listening to a talk from Sister Julie Beck called Mothers Who Know. And then it just very strongly, the impression came, fathers. And I speak on fatherhood a lot. So I think I purposely wasn't thinking fatherhood because I didn't want to just have a cop-out or I guess, like I said, default. So when that came, then it took some time to wrestle with, okay, how am I supposed to address this? And it really just came line upon line. But in short, it was just I needed to address those who were men primarily.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, one more thought on that as I was wrestling with it, as I thought, oh, if I speak just to the women, the men will tune out. But if I speak just to the men, the women will tune in.
So, no, that's a fair point. Yeah. And you are a marriage
Well, the department is home and family, and I teach in two different majors. So marriage and family studies and the child development major as well.
Okay. And you shared in your talk, you'll share some experiences about your own father, about the pool. And can you just explain a little bit more about those?
Those experiences? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess there are two experiences that represent times where I felt just overwhelmed with my, literally, physically overwhelmed with my environment. And my father was only present in one of them because I was at school at the other one, and dads aren't typically around at school. And so I try to illustrate the point that how much more comfort I derived out of being rescued by my father and being protected by him versus having to make it on my own. And sadly, just millions upon millions of children today are being raised in father absent homes. And some fathers who are home aren't really present emotionally or mentally. So, yeah, I wanted to share that to not only just pay homage to my own earthly father, but to illustrate the point of comparing, contrasting what it might be like for a child just in an overwhelming circumstance, which could be just life in general, to go forward without a father to preside, provide, and protect over their welfare.
Yeah, and you just mentioned how there's a lot of homes right now that are missing the father presence, and you talk about that in your talk. And how, as a professor that studies, you know, home and family, how do you, like, what are the effects of not having a father in the home?
Oh, boy. How much time do you have? So I mentioned this in the talk, but there's the societal cost of fatherlessness, and then there's the individual child cost. But mostly just on focusing on the child. When fathers aren't present, the child is more likely to struggle at school. And also the outcomes for boys and girls, there's some similarities for outcomes of boys and girls who are raised in fatherless homes, but there's also very different outcomes for boys and girls.
Yeah.
So some of the similarities are they're more likely to struggle in school, more likely to drop out of high school, more likely to get in trouble with the law and commit crimes, more likely to become incarcerated. Children in fatherless homes, let's see what else, are more likely to have behavioral problems in and out of school. they're also more likely to, well, when it comes to the girls, daughters who are raised in fatherless homes are more likely to become sexually active. Mm-hmm. They actually start puberty sooner than girls raised in father-present homes. Evolutionary psychology would say that's kind of built in from evolution, that our species, but from a doctrinal perspective, we yeah. know that it's much more than that. It's almost like a manifestation of their innate protective nature and duty that God has placed in them. So they're more likely to become sexually active and more likely to allow themselves or to become sexually exploited. Now, of course, none of these are guarantees.
Yeah.
Girls in father-absent homes are also more likely to have lower self-worth, body image issues, depression, eating disorders, and just dads lay the foundation for all future male relationships in their daughters, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
For boys, they're more likely, of course, to be incarcerated, commit crimes, and anyhow, it leaves a gaping hole, and it's sad that in our society that we have portrayed men and fathers as such buffoons and idiots.
Yeah.
That fathers now are viewed as irreplaceable and replaceable and optional, maybe nice but not necessary. So I would argue, just from a research standpoint, fathers are as critical for child development as mothers,
yeah.
but in different ways. Just like we probably need our helping of fruit and vegetables,
yeah.
and they both provide similar yet different nutrition. That's true for mothers and fathers. I think one more point, as I mentioned in the talk, is that we have to rise above this. We can't, as Latter-day Saints, think, well, that's too bad for the rest of the world. Future fathers can't be thinking that and kind of take comfort in the fact that they're just doing a little bit better than the poor trends of the world. Mm. We priesthood brethren need to be lifting their sights much higher and use the Lord's standard. Even though we can't be perfect in this life,
yeah.
we keep striving.
And you posed a question in your talk. Young men right now are probably saying, oh, that's, you know, too bad for them, but that's not going to happen to mm-hmm. me. And you say, you know, you can't think like that. You have to start preparing now. And you kind of mentioned that this talk is kind of like a crash course on fatherhood preparation.
Well, the last third of the talk is a crash course, yeah.
Yeah, and something that I really liked about while I was reading your talk, because it's primarily towards men, but I mm-hmm. think it's really applicable towards women, just mm-hmm. because, in a sense, at least for me and my take, I was able to learn a lot of the things and a lot of the principles I can also apply in my own life.
So I asked two very pointed questions, not to be a pot stirrer or to be overbearing, but because I just think boldness is required in the times and the day and age we live in. I asked something to the effect that, brethren, if your future son had the same thoughts, attitudes, and behaviors you do, would you be proud? I just really want them to think ahead and think that they can't just flip the switch. Oh, I'm a dad now. All of a sudden I can be a good father when I wasn't even preparing for it in the first place. Now, certainly we can always change and the atonement is real, but why put yourself at a disadvantage? Why not be further along in your preparation and be thinking about your children now rather than just thinking about the next day or the next hour or just yourself? The other question I asked was if other men thought about and interacted with your daughter the same way you thought about and interacted with the women in your life, would you be pleased?
Yeah.
And so I want them to start thinking, well, every girl is somebody's daughter, and especially daughter of a heavenly father, and that's your sister.
Yeah.
And most of our, I don't know, I it's really easy for us to just get caught up in now and say, you know what, I'm just going to look for a good wife.
Mm-hmm.
And get caught up in being twinder-pated and romantic and forget that there's more to it. Yes, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes a baby in a baby carriage. But I think young men really need to understand that the most attractive thing about you as a husband is when you provide, and protect the way the Lord has asked you to. And that's going to look a little differently in each home, but it doesn't mean we can't stay true to the principle. And you'll also be very attractive when you are lovingly correcting your children and teaching guiding, walk beside, and helping, instead of just thinking that this is how I attract women with my muscles or with my suave or the way I dress. And again, I think that's using the world standards for trying to build a healthy relationship.
Absolutely. And again, those questions just really stood out to me because I just switched, you know, to apply it to me. And I was like, oh, if I had a son, mm-hmm. Or if I had a daughter, and the way that I treat my husband and the way that I treat my siblings, like, is that how I want my children to be? And it just really made it a lot more personal. And
oh, good. I'm glad
that
you're able to apply it.
Yeah.
See what I mean? The sisters are pretty good at that. The brothers, the brethren can do it. I know they can.
And going along with how it relates to women, what would you say to the sisters who are going to be listening to this devotional? Mm-hmm. How can they relate to these?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, because this talk was probably over an hour long. And I had to keep cutting down and keep praying what needs to stay and what needs to go. One of the things that sadly didn't stay, but I trusted that the Spirit would help make these applications, these unspoken applications. Yeah. One of the things that was in the talk is encouraging the sisters to not just look for husband attributes. Sometimes sisters can have this list of, I want him to be able to play an instrument and be able to do these and this and this, and they get very specific. And other times it's maybe a healthier list where it's just more about attributes and not so much about external indicators or external barometers. But even with all that, no matter how great your husband list is, which the list can be dangerous if it's not used the right way, I think there needs to be always thinking about, can I see this man fathering my children? What sort of righteous father attributes should I be looking for?
Yeah.
And everybody is, all the men, we can't be judgmental about that and think, oh, this guy lost his temper once, so he should never be a father. That would be kind of ridiculous. But we do have to use the spirit of discernment to discern fatherhood qualities. I was speaking with, most of my students are female, I was speaking with one of my students fairly recently, and she said she was almost engaged to this man, and there were some red flags that she kind of just ignored, but then the thought occurred to her to look for or to think about him as the future father of her children, and she said that scared her, and she prayed about it, and she wasn't even really praying about it up to that point, and she felt impressed to break it off. Now, I'm not saying that all the women out there should just break things off simply because he doesn't look like a good father right now. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. We should look on the heart just as the Lord does.
Yeah.
But we have to do that with discernment, not just with our own rational judgment. And again, through a fatherhood lens. So that's a long way of saying that's the first thing I would tell sisters. The second would be to do what you just did, and that's apply everything and reverse it to, how can I follow this similar pattern mm-hmm. with women and motherhood? And be preparing for motherhood, and look to what the Lord has said in ancient and modern prophets about what the mother's role is. And if you don't have a strong mothering desire, just like some young men don't have a strong fathering desire, that's okay. At least acknowledge that, move forward and make a study of it. And I can promise that the Lord will soften your heart and help you see things as they really are. So, yeah, the Spirit is the true teacher. So I think if the women are tuned in the best they can, come spiritually prepared, they'll get a much better message tailored to them than I could ever give them.
Yeah, and again, I got, I think, just as much as my husband will when he sees this talk. And I...
Good, so you're a witness.
Yeah, so I can assure people, you can learn just as much as from a female perspective than a male perspective.
Right.
Well, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to your talk.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.